All right, so why do entrepreneurs quit? There's one reason, and there's an actual graph that shows the reason. We're going to talk about that in this episode. Plus, what's the future of marketing? And what the heck do the two things have to do with each other? Quitting and the future of marketing. All right, we're bringing back Alex Cotone, one of my favorite marketers of all time. I've known her for well over a decade, watched her skyrocket. She's brilliant. And on today's episode, we're going to bring two very strange concepts together. The number one reason people quit, entrepreneurs don't make it, with the future of marketing, and you're gonna get a solution to both of them with one answer. Are you ready? This is gonna be an epic episode. Get ready to take a ton of notes. And remember, learnexpert.com to come join our community of experts who are building a business around their information, LURNexpert.com. And of course, click subscribe, click like. And now, let's take it away to Alex Cotone, not only a copywriting wizard, marketing legend, but just a brilliant and beautiful person who I'm just so glad to have back on The Fighting Entrepreneur. So Alex. And here she is, the beautiful Alex Cotone. Alex, thanks for being back. You're stepping back into the ring with me on this podcast. Thanks. I know that you just got back from an amazing vacation, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to match the glamour of France or Italy or Spain, but it is good to have you back on the podcast. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Anytime I get to just hang out with you and chat marketing and geek out on all this kind of stuff is super fun. So thanks for having me back.
And for the public record, Alex recently posted on Facebook that I was her hero. So I have taken a screenshot of that. I'm blowing it up. I'm going to get it framed and put it up on my office, make myself feel better about myself every day. Alex, last time you were on this show, I think you had about 60 or 70,000 subscribers on YouTube. Now, for anyone who's watching, I started a channel just about copywriting. Had she come to me, you know, a few years ago and said, I'm going to start a channel just about copywriting, I'd have been like, all the best. Like, who the heck goes to YouTube to watch copywriting? Like, that's like, doesn't even make any sense. But she did. She started it. And I remember the post you made on Facebook that said, hey, guys, just started a new channel. Like, can you please go follow me? And I was like, maybe the 78th follower, right? And super, super proud. And then I start watching what she's doing, and it's like, oh, she's posting good content, good content, good content, good content, but not really much traction. And then, like, maybe I skipped watching your stuff for a couple months. I come back, and it's like, she's, like, at this moment right now. I'm like, holy crap, where did these, like, 20,000 subscribers come from? And then it's just been a rocket ship since, and you've really proven some interesting stuff. So we talked about your YouTube strategy, the growth plan, on the last episode. So you guys go back and watch that. But today, give us an update. And then what we're going to really talk about, everybody, is the future of marketing. This is going to be an interesting conversation. It's going to be raw, and it's going to be two people. I know she's been in marketing for as long as I have, because Alex and I have actually known each other since kind of my early days, right? It's probably going on 15 years now. So it's been a long time. So Alex, where is your YouTube channel now? What is your business looking like from the last time we spoke to today?
Yeah, awesome. It's about 215,000. Wow. I think, I'll be honest, I don't look at it every day. I think when you're just getting started, it's, I mean, God, my whole life was how many YouTube subscribers I had. But it's over 200,000 at this point now. And you know, on Instagram, I think I'm close to 150,000 followers now. So that's sort of trickled down across all of my channels. So yeah, my business has massively grown since the last time we've chatted.
So Alex, 202 videos, 216,000 subscribers. YouTube gives you a lot of information. That's amazing. So congrats, first of all. Now, what about your email list? How has that grown? Has that kind of gone similarly? Like, as your YouTube channel grew, has your business grown? Has your revenue grown? Has it been kind of a dollar for dollar, or?
That's a good question. It's definitely grown. I have never had a massive list. When I did my very first launch in 2020, I had a list of 2,300 people, and my first launch, I did $84,000 to that list of 2,300 people. I think at the end of 2020, my list was around 11,000. Now it sits around 50,000. So it's definitely grown. It's funny though, because I think of 50,000 as not that big, because I come from, you know, the direct response marketing background of working with clients that have a million people on their list. So I've never had, you know, a massive list by, you know, some internet marketer standards, but, you know, it's small and it's mighty and it's powerful, because most of those leads come through my organic social channels. And so there's a lot of trust built up there.
Well, there's two things. First of all, they're very specific, topic specific. 50,000 is by no means a small list. And then on top of that, that's how you got them. It's not like you ran some paid ads for 2 weeks and got them. You literally worked the hard way. They watched your content and love you so much that they find a way to go look to click a link. And so I think 50,000 is huge and it's amazing. So, all right. So let's talk about this, because before we started the official recording, and I probably should have recorded that part because we had a good convo going, we were talking about just, I was saying, hey, Alex, what are you up to now? What are you excited about? And she starts talking about the future of marketing and what she thinks the future is. And so I got really excited about that topic because she is someone I know. Again, like I said, I have watched her, I've known of her since we first met in Malaysia when she was working with Mindvalley. And so it was a long time ago. So I know she's been in the marketing space. She has seen, now she works with some of the biggest marketers. And so when she says she has some predictions or has some feelings about where the future of marketing is going, I know we can trust it. You guys, if you're watching my podcast, know I've made some predictions and I have some thoughts. Let's see if they line up. So, Alex, I'm going to turn it over to you. What is the future of marketing? Where do you think we're going? Because right now we're in this recessionary world's coming to an end, everyone's going to die type of mode. Where do you think we're going?
Yeah. So, you know, when I look back at the decade plus, you know, that I've been in this industry, there's a few things that I've noticed to be true. And that's why I like to describe the difference between marketing truths and marketing trends. Everybody loves talking about marketing trends. I get it. It's new tools, it's new tactics, it's new technologies that get people really, really excited. My belief is that a marketing trend is not going to be a business that will stand the test of time. Marketing trends are awesome to, you know, hook your wagon onto to get that boost. You know, we all talk about what's working now, and that's really, really important, especially if you already have a solid business and a solid foundation. But I like to think about marketing truths, and marketing truths are, in my opinion, foundational marketing concepts that are timeless and are absolutely necessary prerequisites to having a strong brand and a strong business. And then you capitalize on the trends to really kind of add fuel to the fire. But if, for example, a trend dies overnight, because we know looking back over history that trends don't last forever, right? Maybe 3 to 5 years, maybe even shorter. There's not a lot of marketing trends that have become, you know, marketing strategies that you can rely on for years and years and years and years. So when I look at the future of marketing, I think it's really looking back at marketing truths and also what the market wants. And so what I see happening right now a lot in the internet marketing industry is that people are looking for kind of the secret, like, oh, it's going to be Reels. Reels is going to, you know, help me explode my business. Yes, Reels are awesome. I had a Reel that went viral not too long ago. I massively scaled my Instagram following. That's cool. That's not going to make or break my business, right? And so it's really focusing on where the market is shifting from a customer-centric point of view, rather than looking at the tools and the tactics and the techniques that will always and forever be changing. And so for me, looking at a customer-centric, market-centric approach, I think the market is wanting more values-based marketing, meaning they are no longer only looking for the cheapest option or the best option or the most convenient option. Buyers are wanting to spend their money with brands and businesses who have the same values as them. And now more than ever, they are looking for those people they know, like, and trust to invest their money in. And I believe that when you can, you know, get into that position as a personal brand or as an organization with a strong brand voice and mission, you really do become recession proof, because you're creating, you know, a community of people who will buy from you no matter what's happening and what's changing in the marketplace.
So lots to unpack there. First of all, I love your distinction between trends and truths. 1000% correct. And actually, for me, I think I'm the worst at getting onto trends, mostly because I'm lazy, and I just admit that to people. But I have been on the same truths since day one when I started my business. It was like 2001. And those truths have remained. They don't change. Like, you can have TikTok, you can have the next social network, but all of them, you know, what is the strategy to building a big TikTok following? it's all the truths. It's all, like you said, the values, content, providing, giving. And like, you do that on any platform and you grow on it. Now, something you said, which is really interesting, and I want to get a little deeper into, is values-based marketing. You don't hear anyone talking about this. And something I was telling you before we started this episode is I had said, you know, I made a video a couple months ago because everyone in the community is like, oh my God, recession's happening. I'm going to die. My business is going to end. And I was just coaching someone from my mastermind on this recently, like an hour ago. And I was like, look, a recession doesn't mean that people don't have money. A recession simply means that a customer goes from the mindset of buying 15 things to buying only three. They're just being more selective because they're being cautious. So now you don't have, you know, where before you could be in their top 15 priorities, now you have to be in their top three priorities. And so how do you get that? Well, people will buy from you if they love you. If they like you, they're going to still buy from you. Right? You're going to make it in their top three priorities. And so the biggest thing there, okay, so here, I'll give an example. I was watching a video recently. I don't know, it caught me on YouTube. I've been on this big biohacking binge lately and watch all these biohacking videos. And this guy, super buff dude, he's like, high protein foods you can buy in Costco. I'm like, that's interesting. You know, so I'm watching this video. He picks up this one food and he's like, well, I like this food. I don't love it. There's a couple wrong things with it, but I like what they're doing. I like what they stand for. I really like where they're trying to achieve. So I'm going to buy it, even though I just want to support them. And I'm like looking at that. I'm like, is he like sponsored by them? Like, what the heck? But I started to realize, I mean, especially our younger generations, that's how they think. It's not about the cost. It's literally he knew what they're trying to achieve. He knew what they're trying to do and what their you know, mission is and all of that. I find more now that the younger generations are connecting to the leadership of a company. They want to know who's leading it, what do they stand for, what are they going for, and they want that personal connection. And that's why platforms like TikTok and all like Instagram and Reels and Shorts are taking off. So I really agree with you on that, on the values-based marketing. So you mentioned community and you talk about values. Like, so are you talking about values as in like giving value to people? You're talking more about, no, what do you stand for? Make that comp. So can you give me some examples? Like, how would you use that in your business?
Yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, you mentioned, you know, nobody's really talking about values-based marketing. They are, just not in our traditional internet marketing space. And so people like Deb Gabor, who wrote the book Branding is Sex, you should definitely have her on your podcast. She talks about this idea of customer archetypes really rooted in values. Jennifer Kemm is another incredible marketer and branding expert who talks about the power of values and archetypes in marketing. And so I like thinking of this concept of archetype over avatar. You know, we're all very familiar with this concept of avatar. Like, my single avatar is that I serve moms who are between the ages of 30 and 40, who are in this education level income bracket. To me, all of that is bullshit. It's helpful and I still teach it, but the more I learn about marketing and the more I continue to watch the market to evolve, the more I see this is interesting, right? I look at my community, and if I were to go just based on avatar, I would be so confused because I have 17-year-old, you know, boys who take my program because they want to start their own business when they leave high school. I have guys who drive Harley Davidsons and have beards down to here who take my programs. I have moms. I have people in healthcare. I have teachers. And so if I look at that group of customers and go, wait, how do all these people fit together into the copy posse when you couldn't literally like find two opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to my customers? And I realize that it's because they all share really, really strong core value, which is freedom. And so if you study sort of the power of archetypes and what is their driving motivations behind why they make certain decisions, all of a sudden this whole world opens up to you of who am I really here to help and who am I here to help serve? And so in my case, you know, you talk about the power of community. I built my brand around that concept. I mean, my brand is the Copy Posse because I never wanted it to be just about me. I wanted it to shine light on this army of incredible heart-centered rad humans around the world who can turn their passion for writing into a business. And what they have in common is that they crave freedom, whatever that looks like to them. And so I keep that in mind in my marketing so that I can continue to, you know, to speak to their core need, drive, and desire versus trying to guess what it is that they want when they come from all different walks of life, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. We were just talking about this before we started the podcast, right? I was telling you with Learn, one of the challenges I hit was our customer base became so spread out because they were looking for so many different things and so many different types of businesses. I felt like I was losing connection with them. So we brought it right back, and now we're going after like people specifically that have some knowledge that they're aching to get out to the world. So we call it the expert market. And it's made things so much more clear, right? Even my podcast episodes tend to be leaning in that direction and talking about that. So it just serves the community I want to talk to very well. And in some ways almost deters the rest of them from even being a part of it, which to me 10 years ago, 5 years ago would have been like, that's a problem. And to me today is like, that's a blessing. Like, that's what we should be doing.
I always say polarization creates popularity. It's okay to turn people away. Like, I would argue now, based on what you just said, that your customer group, their top value is probably impact. And they want to get their message out. They want to inspire more people. That drastically changes your messaging. And so now that you're clear on that, being able to serve that audience at the highest level, knowing that there's going to be people who find you and go, yeah, this isn't really for me. And now the beauty of that is, though, because yes, I started very niche with the Copy Posse, and it was a singular archetype with a singular path or a roadmap to their end goal, which was, you know, financial freedom, being able to travel, being able to spend more time with their kids, being able to ride their hog, you know, whenever they wanted. And it was, you know, how to turn your passion for writing into a freelance copywriting business. And so what's great is that's still my main model. However, as my audience starts to grow, they're looking for more information and more wisdom from me now, because now they're at the point where they're irrationally loyal. And Deb Gabor has another book called Irrationally Loyal, which I highly recommend you read, which is literally all about that sort of tribal marketing where, yes, they came in through this one path. And now I can start creating courses that are a little bit more broad in terms of marketing, that aren't so laser focused in copywriting, because my audience actually wants it and they're ready for it. And I have a ready-to-buy community of people that I can launch to. And so I start creating what I call, you know, the Posseverse, with different programs and products. But ultimately, it's because I've helped with that initial roadmap from point A to point B, that transformation of my students and members that find me looking for freedom. And then, you know, they're ready for the next step.
I laugh at the term irrationally loyal because it reminds me of Apple and me. Irrationally loyal to the Apple brand. I don't need 70% of what they release. I don't even know what it does. I just buy it because it's, you know, and they got us on the eye. They got me.
They come up with something. You're like, I don't even know if I need that, but it's Apple and it's new and I need it and I want to unbox it and have the whole experience.
Bought that stupid HomePod thing. I don't even know where it is. I never used it for a day in my life. And then they expired the product. They're like, we're not selling it anymore. But it makes sense. You're right, right? I made my way to them first for the iPod, and then from there it was like, hey, we have a phone with an iPod in it. I'm like, ooh, cool, like that's two things in one. Became an avid fan of the phone, and that was what got me to look at the laptop. I would have never ever gone to a Mac laptop even for a second if it wasn't me falling in love with their phone. So you're 100% right. Here is Alex. I love her copy training. She serves me super well. She's an awesome person, and now she just created a course. It's not about copywriting, but heck, that sounds interesting. I want to learn about it. Who better to learn from than the person who's already been serving me so well for so long? It just makes sense. So when you hear about this, right, it's common sense. It's like some people are probably listening and going, holy crap, why didn't I think about this? So I'll tell you what. So recently I made a sales video. Well, it wasn't a sales video. It was a video that goes into one of our members area where I'm asking people to submit an application to join our mastermind if they want to look into that. And I literally went and I said this. There is no scarcity. This mastermind will be around next year and the year after. So if it's not the right time for you, don't even worry about it. Don't put the application in right now. But if it is, then go for it. Or even if you just want to know more about it so that, you know, when it is the right time, you know what to do, put the application in. So opposite of any kind of sales messaging I've done in the past. But here's what made the difference. With the new community that we're building, when I got on a webinar, so I did a training webinar where we had 40% of the people who bought show up to the webinar. I've never had that in my entire life. But the reason was, again, they're just different people. They're hand-selected to be there. They coincide with the messaging. And what I told them was, I said, I want to get to know you guys. Meaning, like, when I hop on these webinars every week and we work together, and I want to know who Sheila is. I want to know who, you know, Michael is. I want to be able to know who you are. And when you know them at that level and you can talk to them on the webinar, now I'm making a video. But that's not just like it's not just a viewer. It's not a data point. That's a human. Like, I'm thinking, hey, it's not Sheila. Sheila should not spend money to join my mastermind right now. It would be the wrong thing for her. So let me not push this too heavy. You know, I want to just push it enough. And what's so crazy is the last webinar I did, pushing Learn, the new Learn product, the biggest feedback I got from people across the board was they thought it was the most genuine and honest webinar I've ever done, and that they loved it. They absolutely loved the webinar. I've never had anyone tell me they love my webinar. Because webinars are usually what? Tools to sell you, right? I've never heard anyone come to me and say, your webinar was amazing. I'm like, really? But we just approached it so differently. This webinar for me was like, even if you don't buy, please leave with like some takeaway, because this is no longer about the money, but it's about the mission for me. The only thing I'm gonna put this out there, everybody, and I'll use you as an example, Alex. So Alex came out with Copy Posse, right? And I told you, as a friend, as she had come to me 2 months before she started it, I would have smacked her upside the head and said, this ain't gonna work, right? I mean, flat out, I've been like, what are you doing? Like, you know, start some ads, get a webinar going, let's sell some product, let's go. But she did it. And if you watched, and if there was a way to watch her, like go back and look at her history, I'm sure there is, you see her like channel is just kind of, it's just like this. And during so many people give up during that time because they think it's not working. That's the biggest lesson I've taken away. So Alex, tell me what you think about this. What I've realized is that which you can build quickly will fall fast. That which takes a long time to build will last a lifetime. And so that's my new theory with business. Any business where you see a business where it's giving you an opportunity to make a lot of money really quickly, I guarantee it's going to be pain in the future. I just have seen it too many times. But any business that takes pain in the beginning, it's just going to last you so much longer and be so much more comfortable. So if you want to do the type of marketing that we're talking about, where you're that, you know, just really, it's going to take longer for it to catch on. But man, when it does, then Alex sits right before you as a perfect example of what happens. And it's not that long too, right? I mean, Alex, you launched your channel, what, three years ago?
Yeah. So I launched my channel in 2019. And I, like you said, you know, it was slow in the beginning. I created a high quality video training every single week. And then I didn't even hit 1,000 subscribers until 6 months after I started my channel. So yeah, I mean, you could call my persistence stubborn, and I, you know, didn't want to admit defeat. And I think a large part of it was because I was really clear on what I was doing in the market. You know, I had so many people that were like, why don't you just talk about more general stuff? Like, talk about social media and all that other stuff. And I'm like, but I don't know anything about social media. Like, that's not my background. I have no authority there. Like, what are you talking about? And so it was very specific. And I think if I could give advice to anybody, it's, you know, what's going to keep you consistent is having obviously a genuine love for who you're serving and what you're doing. But having that clear roadmap defined, you know, I always talk about what is the A to B? What is the aggravating status quo to the biggest benefit that you're trying to help your audience achieve? And if you can help even 10 people get from that A to B successfully, you have a business. And then it's just about scaling that. And so a lot of people, I think, jump on bandwagons and they try to do what everyone else is doing. And that is a recipe for disaster. Because there's no sort of consistency in your messaging and how you're showing up. And so, you know, just like Onyx said, like, use the trends. You know, I'm dabbling with TikTok and short form video and all these different things because it's fun and it's exciting and it'll continue to change. But what is the core of your message, and how can you be so connected to that that you're going to maintain consistency in terms of what it is that you create and go from there? Because once you can help 10 people and have a proof of concept that your business actually gets results for people, then it's just about going up from that.
No, absolutely. All right. So couple concepts. So I said something, I want to talk about that second, but let's talk about that 6 months. All right. Let's take off some of the shields and let's talk about rawness. What was going through your head? Because so many people right now listening, Alex, are in that 6 month window. They're not seeing it. They're putting the effort in, but you're making a video every single week. You got all people telling you it's not going to work. It's not going to work. What kept you, like, other than stubbornness, did you have weak moments? Did you have times you thought, okay, that's it, I'm going to quit? Or did you come into it knowing, like, no, it's going to take me a year or whatever?
I went in committing to 4 videos. okay. I think I had, like, have you heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect?
No.
Okay, so I'm sure maybe in the video you can, like, pull up the graph right now. But it's a line graph that basically has been studied by psychologists that show your confidence is at an all-time high at the very beginning of learning or doing something new, which is hilarious, right? It's like, you know the least, but you're confident. You're like, I fucking got this. I'm going to crush it. And so I was definitely at the peak of, I think they call it the peak of Mount Stupid, to be honest. I think it's called the peak of Mount Stupid, where you really know nothing and you're like, I'm just going to do it. You have all this confidence, which is like, we can all think about times in our lives that we've been there, right? We go to a conference, we attend a webinar, we buy a program, and we are like, we are doing this thing. We are starting our business. It's going to happen. And then what happens is the more you learn and the more experience you get, you take a drastic fall in your confidence. And they call that the valley of despair. And that's where you live for a while. And so to me, it was kind of helpful knowing that, oh, this is actually a studied phenomenon. Like, I am not special. I am not like the only one who ever experiences this, like, dark night of the soul. What am I doing? I don't belong here, you know? And it is tough, you know, because I was getting criticism despite not having very many followers. You know, I was ruffling some feathers in the industry and, you know, found a Reddit thread about me and would hear from friends, you know, similar to kind of what you said. I remember I was at a party and I had a friend come up to me and he's like, hey, how's it going? And you're like, good. So I saw you started your YouTube channel. Like, I'm really proud of you. Kind of with that, like, tone of, like,
that condescending, patronizing.
Yeah. He's like, you're doing real great. You know, he's like, I just, you know, like, not that many people are watching them. And I was like, yeah. And I don't know if it's just because I have enough of that, like, I'm going to prove you wrong, but you just channel. Yeah. All of that prove you wrong energy that you can possibly muster and keep going. But yeah, I had moments where I was like, man, what the hell am I doing? I remember the first video, I got like 200 subscribers. So I was like, because all my friends, I call it the friends and family effect.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh my God, I'm great. Like, I had a friend launch a podcast and then she's like, oh my God, I got this many, you know, subscribers on my first episode. I was like, yeah, but, you know, those are friends and family. Wait till you go through the valley of despair. And so, yeah, it was tough. I think I just was really connected to literally even just helping one or two people. Like, the second I would get a positive comment saying, oh my God, you have no idea how much I needed this today. I was like, all right, you know what? If I'm helping one person, I'm just going to keep going and stay committed and stay consistent until, you know, the YouTube gods bless me with reach.
Oh, the YouTube gods. Okay. Wow, we've hit an interesting topic right now. So the Dunning-Kruger effect, what comes after the Valley of Despair? This is a very doom and gloom.
I should create some hope for everyone.
Yeah, it's like we went from the Mount Stupid to like the Valley of Despair. So where are we going next?
Yeah, so then what happens is it slowly starts to go up as your capability grows, your confidence grows until, you know, the Ridge of Enlightenment or something. It's
who made this? This is awesome. They're great marketers. I loved it.
Probably two people, likely old white men named Dunning and Kruger.
But I like the Mount Stupid and then, you know, all right.
I know. I actually, Yeah, research it. It's honestly, I share this with my students on the first call of all of my programs because they're all like gung-ho, ready to go. And I'm like, wait for it. Wait for the valley of despair.
It's like when we go to college, right? And they're like, look to the left, look to the right. Only one of you is going to make it. And you're like, whoa, that was like the first thing. Dude, what? Like, welcome me to the school first. Like, I've had that said to me many times.
Yeah, but I think when you expect it, it takes the fangs out. Like, so I say this to my students. I'm like, are you guys in the valley of despair yet? And they'll be like, yes, I'm there. You know, it's like, it's a bonding experience as well. Cause you realize like, yeah, you know, it's easy for me to stand here now with, you know, the business that I have and go, you can do it. But I was right there where you were. And not that long ago, you know, it's a lot of people, I think, oh, it's too late. It's too late to build a business online. Well, I started a business in online marketing at a time when it was so saturated. I mean, every YouTube channel I feel is about online marketing. So, you know, I got specific, I got niche, and then I served a specific type of person and I helped them with a specific problem. And I think specificity is your friend in the beginning.
Yep. It's funny you said that word because anyone who writes copy for me is required to take the word specificity, write it in big letters on a piece of paper and pin it on their cubicle. Because I think that's the one thing that makes any copy better. If you take copy and you add specificity to it, it automatically makes it better. Okay, so this is interesting. So then you slowly rise back up. And I think my assumption here is that most people probably quit right when that thing dives down. So a lot of us just quit in that first like few days. That first week, right? It's like they bought a program, they're super excited, and the very first video, they're like, ah, crap, this is a lot of work. I suck. I'm a stupid person. I'm not going to be able to do this. And it's like, they're out. So they haven't even hit the bottom of the valley of despair, and they bounce ship. And then there's probably so many more that quit during the hard work on the rise back up. But you're right. To know that is empowering so that you don't feel like you're the only one or the lonesome person. The other thing I want to tell everybody is everyone who watches this podcast, you know, I'm all about being open and honest and upfront. And it's like, I don't know about Alex, but I can talk to you. I still feel like I go through the Dunning-Kruger effect. I mean, I'm riding high sometimes and out of the blue, I fall back into the valley of despair. And it's like, why? Life is great. But I actually think the higher you rise, the greater the fall, right? So when I shut down all of Learn and I was like, that's it. We're revamping because I'm getting up every morning and I'm not ecstatic about what I'm doing. Of course, at that moment, I was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, and then you shut it all down 3 months later when your CFO is calling you, you're like, holy crap, what the hell did I do? Like, you know, but it's like you made a decision, you stick to it. So for all of you who are at this place, I just want you to hear what Alex said. It's like you go back up, but it takes time and it's still going to be struggle. And I hate to tell you, even when you reach the top again and you're doing well, yeah, sometimes you fall again just because, you know. So here's what I've done, Alex, and I want to share this with everyone and maybe you'll agree. You actually said it, which is what triggered me to say this. So I'm used to having training webinars with hundreds of people on, right? I'm used to doing things grand, big. I do a launch, 20,000 people register for the webinar. That was the old way. The new way is a little different now because I want more intimacy. I want more connection. We're very topic specific. So I found myself feeling a little bit like I just did a webinar with, you know, 89 people. I used to do this same webinar with 500. But what I did, instead of being disappointed about that, I was like, well, that means 89 people that I'm going to impact right now. So I got like really intimate with them and I made my day not about how much revenue did we do or how many people were on the webinar, but I was like, how many people do I know I instrumentally today? Like absolutely, I can go to bed tonight knowing that there are these six people who I either saved from making a big mistake or helped grow a lot. And that rejoicing in that like individual win was something I've been using to kind of get through this like rough period of like revamping everything. And I think a lot of our students, unfortunately, what happens is they see our results and they pin themselves like that's what they want, but they don't want the 3, 4, 5, 10 years. It's not even fair to say your channel's been up for 3 years, sure, but you've been doing this for 15, right? And so for everyone who's listening, it's like the despair, I think a lot of it comes because you're not getting instant results that are like massive. And so you're forgetting to count the little wins. And so like that's been my strategy multiple times throughout my history to help me get through some of that moment. But like, Yeah, what helped you get through it? Was it that? Was it the fact that you started rejoicing in every comment and every, you know, like and in everything? Or was there anything else you were doing through that period, that 6 months?
Yeah, I love what you said about, well, like, so first of all, yeah, comparison. You cannot compare yourself to somebody else's middle or end. Like, you just can't. And I see that happen a lot. And so I think what I did is the first thing was I actually stopped paying attention to what other people were doing. There is a time and a place in your business where modeling best practices and all that is really helpful, you know, to get started and things like that. But I had to stop looking at what other people were doing because I would just find myself comparing. It's impossible not to. So I just got really, really clear on what I was here to talk about and the right people would find me. The other thing I like to do is, you gave this number of 89 on your webinar. Imagine being in a room with 89 people who are hanging on to every word that you're saying. 89 people. I mean, that's a lot, you know? And or if it's six people, you know, six people are in a room with you listening to you. Like, how do you think, you know, every single business, organization, cult, how do you think that all started? You know, it was, you know, a room probably with a few people in it. And so I think it really is just getting connected to the fact that you're helping others, no matter what that number is, and letting go of the vanity metrics of all of it. Because if you're upset about not having as many people as so-and-so, that's all about ego, as opposed to, wow, those people got a really, really bespoke, exclusive experience with you that, guess what? As you can continue to grow, that number is going to go up and they're always going to be so proud that they were part of that, you know, early small group in the beginning. I still have customers now, years later, who are so proud that they were part of my very first season of my very first launch. And they remember when there were five people on the calls, you know, and I think that there's something really beautiful about that and trust that, you know, while growth might be slow, it does grow. And at some point, I do think with consistency, you start to see more of that sort of hockey stick effect take hold. And at that point, as long as you're on that upward trajectory, you'll still have those moments and those valleys of despair. Like you said, Anik, I still have that for sure all the time. You know, for the last even couple of months, I remember just, you know, having days where I'm like, what am I doing? And getting really disconnected from my purpose and mission and having to revisit that, because it's easy to get down on yourself when you don't do things right or when, you know, you're not getting the same results that you got last time. I think there's this like misconception that if you aren't getting the same or better results than you did last time, then that means you're a failure. And it's like, wait, what? No, this is just all part of having a business.
So much to unpack there. Holy crap. That was like a mindset PhD. First of all, thank you for being open and honest, right? So like, yeah, in the last couple of months, in the last couple of years, in the last 6 months, I think this is the problem. I have so many family members and friends that will come to me and be like, this, by the way, if you're listening right now, do not say this to me because I'll punch you. I hate this line. People are like, you're so lucky. And I have physical scars on my body from the abuse that I've taken being an entrepreneur. I regret none of it. I love every second of it. There's not luck at the end of the day. It's I've powered through a lot of hard times. But having said that, I think that everyone kind of, it's grass is greener on the other side, right? So my best friend and I had this for a longest time until one day we finally had a sit down chat. Every 3 months he'd come to me and say, you know, he every time I did something, if I traveled to some country first class, I bought a new car, I got a new house, this guy would get reinvigorated, be like, I really want to start my online business. And it was so transparent. Like, he didn't even realize. And I'm like, you're just saying that because I did something. Okay, fine. So we'd start, have a quick conversation. This is what I need you to do. He wouldn't do it. He'd try to get me to do it. I have a hard rule. I'm not going to do it. But did he quit? Go through the same cycle 3 or 4 months later. Finally, one day I sat him down and I was like, here's the deal. I'm happy to do this for you, but here are the rules of the game. You cannot go to Thursday night happy hour. And on the weekends, you love to party with your wife and go to all this stuff and do all these things. All has got to end. You will be in my apartment working next to me. I will help you, but you got to be in this place and you will quit all of these other things that you do. And he's looking at me like, but I have to do those. And I'm like, no, you don't. However, if you want to do them, I respect that. But that's what's going to be required of you to start this business and to succeed in it, because you do have a full-time job. So this guy actually comes back to me 4 or 5 days later. He's like, I talked about it with my wife, and my social life and my personal life is far too important to me to do this. So I don't want to do this. Hence, I'm not going to start a business. I'm going to do what I do. And he does very well, by the way. He's super successful. And I looked at him and I said, that's great. Good for you. Right? Like, awesome. We never had that conversation after that. That was years ago. And it was just because the realization of like, hey, man, there is a lot of sacrifices that go along with this for the rewards. And it's just a journey, everyone, when you're watching this. Like, just don't think that those who you see on stage speaking, smiling, succeeding, that they're not going through it too. They are. Some choose to talk about it. Some choose not to. And I think the world's moving more towards those who are open and honest about it. But you said something, and I want to talk about this a little bit. You said, stop looking at what other people are doing. And I want to tell her, I call this the Facebook effect. And I think I need to call up Dunning or Kruger and get a better term for this because they're better at naming stuff. But I deleted all apps from my phone. So this is the phone. Oh, it fell to the floor. My phone that I walk around with every day. This is what's on me throughout the day. Has no social media apps on it, except for Facebook Messenger, which I use to conduct business. But I don't have Facebook. I can't access my Facebook wall. And I got a separate phone because I run a business. I need social media. So I got a separate phone that I only use during certain times. I don't carry it with me, that I could access Facebook and all this. The other day, I wanted to make a post. I can't even find that phone, by the way. I lost it. So I have no idea where it went. But this goes to show you, I don't need that dopamine rush all the time from these social media networks. Well, I saw something really interesting. So I went on Facebook the other day to make a post. Yes. And I was watching myself from like above. And it was uncanny to see how I like got sucked in within seconds. It was like 3 seconds and I'm scrolling. I never made the post. I went to make a post, but I'm scrolling. Yeah. And I'm like reading other people and my blood pressure starts to go up and my anxiety and I get angry. I was like, holy crap. This is not healthy. Like, this is something really interesting going on here. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, you see the guy who's like, I just sold my company for $1 billion. And it's like your natural response is like, damn it. You know, even though that's not me. If someone tells me that to my face, holy shit, I'll be so excited. I'll be like happy for them, you know, but in that isolated environment, it's just weird. So I love what you said. Stop looking at what other people are doing. It's totally irrelevant. It just doesn't even mean anything.
It does. And everyone knows this logically, but it doesn't matter. You know, like if I looked at what everyone else was doing and tried to do what everyone else was doing, I know for a fact my business wouldn't be where it was today. I purposely kind of broke the rules and ignored everybody else. And I just think that's what you have to do. And so if it were me just getting started, you know, I would find one mentor who I really vibed with, who had a roadmap, and I would follow that roadmap and be their best case study. Because so many people get into this trap of like, I need all the things, I need all the mentors, I need all the teachers. Guess what? There's probably a million people out there who would have different advice from me. Well, that's very confusing if you're looking to start a business. There is more than one path to success. So, you know, if it's Onyx, go do everything Onyx says. Go buy his programs. Be on the webinars. Take advantage of the fact that you can ask him questions live. Be his best freaking case study. And then once you have the foundation, you can start going, okay, who else can I learn from? Is there more, you know, topics, trends that I'm interested in? But it's really that simple. You know, follow someone who's 1, 2, 10 steps ahead of you. Follow their roadmap. Get results. And don't worry about what everyone else is doing.
Super true. We have a student that was in one of my, going back to rejoicing in the small webinars, right? So we had this one little training that I sold. It was a total bomb. And I'll talk about it. I don't care. Bombed. My list, like nobody wanted to buy it. It's awesome training. And like you guys missed out if you didn't buy it. So poo-poo on you. But we had a few people buy it. We had like 50 people buy it, right? And like, hey, that's 50 people. It's just for me, like I'm used to like 500. So 50 was not a success. Now out of the 50, only like 10 would actually show up to the trainings. It drives me bonkers. I'm like, I don't know where the other 40 are, but fine. So there's 10 people in a room with me for 2 hours a week, 6 weeks. Wow. So if you missed that, you missed that, you missed it. So we had a student on there, and his name is Roosevelt. And we built a relationship. I'd pick on him. We were making fun, joking around, but he got a lot of my time and I gave him a lot of advice. And he committed to being the first person who would buy the new Learn when it came out. He was on the webinar and he found a way to talk to my support team to get the link to buy before I had even gotten to the pitch. And he posts in the chat, I lived up to my word. I bought before. And here's the thing. I know him now. Like if he walks into the Learn Center for an event and says, I'm Roosevelt, everyone else is dead to me. I am going to be hanging out with Roosevelt for the rest of the day. Well, here's the coolest thing. We did our first training, official training of the new Learn. He's on, of course, as always. He never misses a training. And he announces he got his first sale. He got his first, like, and I'm telling you, I could have fallen off my chair. It was like you calling me and telling me I just won $10 million. I was super excited. And that, I'm trying to tell everybody, like, if you can capture that type of intimacy, that's not only going to help you get through that valley and get through that, like, despair and through the tough times, but ironically, we just tied it back together. Watch how brilliantly I do this, Alex. That's the future of marketing. So you guys see how I brought that right back together? So you're actually getting trained for where marketing is going. And it's like that focus on community. And I was trying to explain to, I don't remember who I was talking to at this point. I was trying to explain community. Like, what the hell does that mean? It's become like a... And this is my takeaway. I was like, community means when you're so intimately involved with, like, you know that community so well, you know their, you know people's names, you know that one of them just had a kid, like, you know their problems. You meet up in person, like, you're friends. Like, I know what's going on in my friends' lives, and we meet up, and we hang out, and we help each other, we support each other. That's community. It's not just a Facebook group. It's not just because you make a post a week or post a day. Like, a community, unfortunately, I hate to tell you guys, from what I've learned, is if you don't have a heart for it, you ain't going to be good at it. Because it's everything. It's like everything but the post you make. It's everything around that post. It's like all the comments you reply to. It's all the, you know, the things you say, the people you support. It's all the things you do for free. You know, it's all the heart that you bring to it. And if you don't really love that community, that's why people will be like, I think I'm going to launch a group about XYZ. Well, do you actually like the topic? No, it's going to fail. It's going to totally fail. But
it's like the glue. It's the glue of all the logistics and yeah, the posts and the things that we think make a community. It's such an overused word, right? Like, yes. Oh, join our community. And if you really mean it, yes. But yeah, how many times have we joined a community and we're like, wait a second. And so I really do believe, like you said, that is the future of marketing. And it is becoming more and more, I think, important for people to be able to create those connections that transcend the internet. You know, I have posse members that do meetups all over the world, whether it's two of them or six of them, and they send me photos and they post in our community and they're like, posse meetup in London, what's up? And I'm like dying that I'm not there because I feel like I know and love these people. And I mean, how cool would it be to be at like a posse meetup that I didn't even organize, you know? And so yeah, there's something really special about that. And, you know, from both sides, being a creator who's creating community, if you're not in one, be in one, because you'll learn so much just about the dynamics of how to lead in that space. And then, you know, for those of you that are in community and or aren't in community and want to be in one, looking for that group or that tribe online, I think is really smart.
I could not agree more. It's a blessing, and it's tough. So when we say community is the future, when you really learn how to build community, you will learn you got to give it your all. You can't outsource all of it. You can't just have a bunch of VAs build a community for you. It's you. But the positive of it is, man, you do it right. I think, who was it that said, if you have 1,000, what is that marketer? Seth? Was it Seth Godin? Says, if you have 1,000 true fans, you'll never be broke.
Right. Yeah, I think he said that.
Yeah, yeah. Period. It's like, if you have 1,000 true fans, yeah. Yeah. So, and I agree with him. So now that's not 1,000 members in your Facebook group or 1,000 followers on YouTube. No, that's 1,000 people that would, you know, cancel going out with a friend because you show up or you're doing something. Like, those are 1,000 people that love you, that you've brought value to. No one falls in love with you unless you bring a ton of value to them. So that's the hard truth. Alex, it has been so much fun. We took the conversation in so many different places than I even anticipated, but that's pretty much what I expected today. So I want to leave you with closing words. Finally, first of all, like, how can people follow you? And for everyone who's watching right now, I don't care what you're doing, you're at your stop right now and go follow Alex's stuff because it is brilliant and you will get so much out of it. So Alex, where can people go? Give us the URLs, give us the social media handles. Where can they go?
Yeah, copyposse.com. It's P-O-S-S-E. People always put a Y at the end. copyposse.com. I'm Copy Posse on Instagram and on YouTube, just Alex Catone, where I publish, you know, my weekly videos. So always happy. And if you've heard me on this podcast, DM me on Instagram and let me know, because I would absolutely love to say hi and say thanks for watching.
Yeah, awesome. So you guys, make sure you do it. Follow her, join all of the things that she's doing. And she just got back from her vacation, so she's going to be working hard now. So this is the best time, right? So she's done with her vacation. I can't bear to watch any more of your vacations right now. Please stay home and work. Don't, or at least don't post them on stories anymore. all right, everybody. Alex, as always, it's been awesome. I would love to have you back again. We can talk more about whatever it is that you're working on. And to the rest of you, hit subscribe right now. Come on, click subscribe, leave a comment. If you're watching on any other podcast platform, please make sure to leave us a great review, help us climb those rankings. And of course, learnexpert.com to join our community for those who are experts who want to impact the world, change the world of education, and learn how to do it together. LURNexpert.com and onicpodcast.com to binge listen to all of our other episodes. Make sure you go listen to Alex's first one with us. Type her name into the search bar. You're going to absolutely love it, because now you'll be able to see the growth. It's insane. It's awesome. All right. So everyone, have a great day. And what do I always say? When life pushes you, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. Talk to you in the next one.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.